to stop in the middle of the ocean and they're calling Mayday, Mayday. There's times that we have reasons to express those emotions. There's times we should have disgust, and there's times we should have sorrow and sadness. But it's important that we don't allow the things around us to get in us to a point that's who we become. I heard a quote I thought was very good, talking about a ship in the ocean. It says, a ship sits in the middle of the ocean, and there's water all around it. Nothing wrong with that. The problem becomes when water gets in it. Do not let what's around you get in you. And that's what we'll talk about this morning. Because there's a lot of world around us, a lot of stuff around us. Easy for us as seasoned Christians to get caught up in the hype of this generation and what's going on. It's easy for us to allow that from the outside to get on the inside. But God has given us something called the Holy Spirit, which helps us be able to defeat that which is on the outside from coming on the inside. We don't utilize that. I love what Rodney said a week or so ago, that for this year, his proclamation to himself and to the church is that we draw closer to God this year, that we have a closer walk with him, that we draw in a more interpersonal way with him. You know how that happens? Spending time with him. We've all heard the expression, you teach your kids this, and you know this as adults, and some of you adults may not be where you need to be in your life right now, but here's how it works. Birds of a feather flock together. You're going to be who you're around, whether you're 16 or whether you're 60. You're going to be who you're around. I was thinking about this morning, different people. You see one person in this environment or this situation with other people, more likely, guess what? They're doing the same things that person's doing. That's just how it goes. You're who you're with. You're who you allow to be in your life. And so it's important that we gauge and we measure who we allow in our lives, who we allow to invest in our lives, and who we listen to, and what voices we give credence to. Because too many people are influenced by the wrong voices, they're influenced by wrong people, and that's why their lives are a mess, because they're trying to please someone who has not a lick of sense in their natural brain, and yet we follow those people. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. It's not easy to fail. It's much harder to succeed. And the way we succeed is that we don't listen to voices that drag us down. And we don't listen to the world. I mean, I don't know about you, but you look at the world, I don't really want what they've got. Because the world is broken. The world is discouraged. The world is desperate. The world is angry. The world is lost. The world is bitter. I'm glad I know who my king is. I'm glad I know that, yeah, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm glad I know that. I'm glad I know that I can live this world, but keep my eyes on the prize. Because there's things I just can't control, no matter how much I want to. I can't control things that are passed. I can't control legislation. There's a lot of things I have no control over. So I just trust in my king that I'm his child and he takes care of me. And I won't let the poison of the world poison me and get inside of me. Let's read some scriptures. 1 John 4:4 says this. We're talking about inside out. Now before this verse 4, what precedes this is John's talking about the Antichrist spirits in the world. Those that don't believe Jesus Christ is who he is, rose from the dead, Son of God, blah, blah, blah. He's saying, don't listen to those voices, don't listen to those lies. You are of God, little children. You've overcome those voices. You've overcome those doubts and all those naysayers. Because why? Greater is he. Greater is God that's in you than that which is out there. We're stronger because Christ lives in us. We have power, not because we're holy, not because we're churchgoers, but because Christ lives in us. And we have an inner strength that the world can't understand. That's how we can stand against the enemy, and we can say, no, I know what I believe, I know whom I've received, I know who died for me, I know my King, I know my Lord, and I will not doubt. And I will not listen to the lies that tell me anything different. I know the truth. And the truth, Jesus says, will set us free. And it does. It sets us free how? We're free to know the truth. See, when you know something is true, can't nobody talk you out of it. Can't nobody talk you out of it. When you know something to be true, all the lies in the world and deceit can't take that out of you because you have knowledge of that truth. We've overcome because greater is God in us than all that which is out there. Much on the outside trying to get on the inside of God's people. We're supposed to be different, church. It's okay. We can't be so cool and so hip and so trendy that we lose who God called us to be. We need to understand that. We're light. We're supposed to be different. I was different my whole life. My friend Bill, different his whole life. We went through school different our whole lives. He was more different than me, but we were both different. And people knew that. People would tease me. Oh, you're a Christian. And they would always tease me. So, you know, you mean you don't do this with girls? You don't go out and drink? No, don't. No. Man, you're weird. I'm saved. I mean, hello? I'm saved. It just means I'm different. And I'm glad to be different. Different for Christ. He was persecuted. So shall we be persecuted. Nothing wrong with that. The world needs to see a distinct light. Aren't you glad, or you've never been in a situation, I guess, but in the old days, when you had the lighthouses going, and those ships were out in the middle of the sea, I bet they were very glad to see something different, other than darkness. There's a light flashing. Thank God. It's that flashing light that signaled them to safety. We are a flashing light that signals people's lives to safety. There's a refuge for you. You don't have to keep going down the path you're going and letting the world come inside of you. God is in you, and God can fight your battles, and God can give you strength. You know, me and Bill went through high school all 4 years, middle school, and there were struggles and there were temptations, and we were right there with all the other kids, but what separated us was the greater than that was in us, that somehow just grounded us when everything else was falling apart around us. And we just said, I can't cross that line because God always just stops me. I didn't like it all the time. I mean, I don't know about Bill, but I know I didn't like it all the time. I didn't like God stopping me. I wanted to be bad. I wanted to be sinful. Sin felt good, or I thought it would feel good, the little bit I did. I wanted to feel good. But you know, it's just that greater than inside of me just always reminded me, you are my child. You can overcome those traps that the devil is setting in your life. And a trap is not dangerous until we step into it. And then it has us. You watch the old movies, you know, we're out there doing the traps. They're setting them old traps for them animals, them old ironclad traps. And them, you know, it's not dangerous to the animal's leg. It's in it, and then it's caught. And it's stuck. And so many people's lives have gotten stuck in the traps of the world because they've allowed what's outside to come inside. We have to protect this. That's why we teach our children, look, don't try drugs. Don't do drinking. Don't do these things, because if these things get inside of you, they can become who you become. And I don't want that for your life, because there's no good end result for that. And so, you know, we teach our kids and we train our kids and we try to teach them to stay on the right path, not because, you know, growing up in my home, I think my kids, especially my son, really only my son, thought that we only came to church because I was a preacher. And we kept trying to remind him, no, we come to church because, oh, I don't know, we're Christians. There's a concept. I mean, we've been in church whether if I wasn't pastor or not. We're Christians. It's what we do. It's how we roll. It's who we are. Is that enough cliches? That's just how it is. We're Christians. Nothing to do with them. Well, if you wasn't a preacher, I could do this. No, you couldn't. Because I'm your daddy first. And just because I'm a preacher don't mean I want you out living like a hellion and a fool. No. Had nothing to do with that. It's because I'm a Christian and I'm your father. Like Darth Vader said. I am your father. And I'm on the light side. I am good. I'm a Jedi Knight. The Force is with me. The Holy Ghost Force. With all that said, we try to protect our children from the outside coming in. That's why parents put some of their kids in homeschool, to protect them from those environments. They don't let them ride the bus, protect them from those environments. They don't let them go to certain friends' houses, protect them from the environment. Because they realize that those things get in them. And I don't know if you've been on an elementary school bus lately, but from what I hear from the young generation, is we have second and third graders on that bus using four-letter words I didn't know that I was in high school, so to speak. little kids just spewing out profanity. I mean, we're in a time where that is, and you know what? You know how that gets in them? Because it's around them, and they hear it. And the only difference between the non-believer and the believer is the believer has something to help fight that. The non-believer don't. You know, I used to get real upset with people, and God has changed through the years. He's matured me spiritually through the years in ministry. And, you know, I used to not understand, why don't people just get with it? You know, why don't they just change? But until the Holy Spirit does the work, they can't. I mean, man, we used to, you know, try to make people get saved, you know. We'd lay hands on them and almost force salvation on them. You can't do that. Because until the Holy Spirit makes them aware there's a problem, they can't fix it anyway. Until the Holy Spirit speaks. See, until we hear God, we can't respond to God. We got to hear God. We can't, God's not something we just can just, you know, it's not something that we do as a matter of fact. Well, I think I'm going to just get saved this morning. I've tried everything else, I just get saved. No, it's much deeper than that. There has to be a drawing, an awareness that you need to be saved. God's got to speak before we can ever change. And I know there are people that don't hear the voice of God. And some that do reject the voice of God. And the more they reject the voice of God, the more they allow the voice of the enemy to become the dominant voice. The more they reject Christ, the more they reject the gospel, the more they reject His love, His mercy. You know what? If we reject someone's love, that means we take someone else's love. If we reject someone else's mercy, we're getting mercy somewhere else. Because what we push away, we pull in from somewhere. And so it's dangerous when we push away God, because that means we're allowing in the enemy. I'm not hearing God, but I'll hear this. It's a dangerous place to be. Go to the next scripture, Brandon. This is in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Present. You know what that means? That we walk out this life giving ourselves for the glory of God. Because we know now the Spirit of God lives in us. We're the living tabernacle. Not like the old days where we lived in a tent and that was where the Ark of the Covenant and all those symbolic things of where the Spirit of God dwelt. It now dwells in us. And so we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Go to the next scripture. Then verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Don't be like this world. We're not supposed to allow our lives to be shaped into what, and by the world, that's what I mean. It don't mean we don't, church, all of us in here, I guarantee you, all of us have, you know, a TV, and we listen to music, and we have our internet, and, you know, we have our modern-day technology stuff we enjoy, and we have our cars, and we go places, and we shop at the mall, we go see a movie. Not talking about those things. We don't conform to the ideology of the world. We don't conform to the theology of non-believers. We don't conform to the evil of present day. We don't take on the seeds of what the world says, because as Christians, I want the church to understand this. I know we're in a generation where this might seem far-fetched, and a lot of churches even may seem far-fetched, but there still is things that are right and things that are wrong. There is still sin. And so, for many people, Christians even, have crossed the line and living just like the world counterpart with no separation. And the Bible is clear when it says, come out from among them and be ye separate. You're supposed to be different. It's okay. And we should be, thank God, that we've been called out of darkness into His kingdom. Don't be conformed. Don't take on and don't accept, because whoever endorses it, if the greatest evangelist or preacher, or if every preacher in the country or world come out and said, this is okay, this is okay, what does God's word say about it? I'm not saying we spew out hateful judgment,
But we don't just say, yeah, that's okay. I accept that. We have to be separate. We have to come out and make a stand and say, I'm not going to let what's outside come inside. When the first state, which I think was, if I'm thinking right, Massachusetts, I believe, was the first state to legalize same-sex union. I believe it was Massachusetts back 7-8 years ago, whenever it was. I think I'm telling you right on that. And that was a big deal then. That was a big deal then, not that many years ago. I remember when that came out, we're like, oh my gosh, you mean a state has legalized where a man and a woman can get married? And we're like, oh my gosh. And I stood in this pulpit and said, in my lifetime, I didn't think I'd be that quick. In my lifetime, all 50 states, it'll be a national ruling. And here we are. And what happened? We woke up one morning, didn't we? And turned on the news. Oh, by the way, all 50 states now legalized. What? Where did that come from? It was a few. When did that vote pass? Where was my voice in that? What? And all of a sudden now, we have a shift in our culture that'll never be the same. And we have a world telling us as Christians that if we don't accept this, if we don't conform to this, that we're not showing the love of Christ. You know what the love of Christ is? Telling the truth. That's the love of Christ. When you love someone, you tell them the truth. That's why I don't think parents should be friends with their kids. They need to be a mama and a daddy through all the hell it may cause to tell them this is right and this is wrong. And you don't like it? Tough. I'm your parent. That's love. Proverbs says, a father that doesn't correcteth his son hateth his son. Love tells the truth. I don't say we hold signs and make slanderous names and use those words to describe homosexual people in derogatory ways. I don't believe in that at all. But I believe when they tell us or they come to us and say, do you think I'm wrong? Yes. Yes. I think you're wrong because of what God's word says. Not because of what James says or any preacher says. What God's word says. People all the time ask me the issue about drinking. I know many of you in here drink. That's your deal. People ask me about drinking. I know what the Bible says. And the Bible is clear, not only on drunkenness, but even in drinking in general, it talks about it. Because here's what happens. Here's the bigger question. Why do you need it, number one? And why do you have to have it? Why do you even want it? Because we know what alcohol does, if you drink enough of it. It causes us to feel different. And it allows what's out there to come in here. The Bible speaks of alcohol making us fools. Speaks of that. So, no. Do I believe drinking a beer or wine will send you to hell? No, I don't. But I just think that it's something to be avoided for your light for God, number one, and for your own quality of life, number two. And for the example of your kid you're trying to set, number three. Don't tell your kid, hey, you don't need to be drinking. Hey, son, get me a beer out of the refrigerator. Are you serious? We allow too many things that are in the world. I've never seen so many people that can't go eat dinner without having a drink. They can't socialize without having a drink. I don't get it. Give me some caffeine, I'm cool. That's all I need. I can do water. I mean, I can just do water, but I do like my sweet tea. But I can do water. I don't need that to socialize. I don't want to allow those things to come into my life because, church, I want to tell you something. I've never drank any alcohol, but I'm telling you what. If I did, I may like it. And I may have a problem. I don't know. But why take the apple off the tree? Why go through that door and give the devil? What did the Bible say? Give the devil no opportunity.
So I understand it's cool to socially. I got other preacher friends of mine that drink. I think that's their thing. You want to drink, preacher? That's fine. That's your thing. I'm just saying, why are we allowing things that probably aren't the best for our lives to even entertain those things? It's important we guard and we're not conformed to the world. Because the world's doing it, well, I'll just do it. No. We've been called out. We've been separated. We're the chosen. We're the redeemed. We're the called. We're supposed to be different. Church, I'm not picking on people that drink or I'm not picking on people that are gay. I'm not saying that. I've got my own issues. I'm not gay and I'm not a drunk, but I got other issues. And we won't talk about those in front of y'all. It's none of your business. I don't have those issues. But I have other issues I battle. Of course I do. I got other weaknesses. I got other things that I struggle with. But for the grace of God, I've told y'all. Bill went to school with me. He knows this. If I hadn't had Jesus, I would have probably been the party boy. But I'm not Bill. I'd probably have been out there, wouldn't I? Because I already had the long hair. Probably drove Bill crazy. And had the red Firebird, my tinted windows, and boombox in the back, playing MC Hammer. Can't touch this. Remember that? I would have been out there. No doubt. But for the grace of God, I wasn't. And so, I'll be honest, I didn't trust myself. There were girls that I would ask out that later I would cancel because I didn't trust myself. Because they were hot. And I knew if there's any kind of move on her part, I'm done. I'm not that strong. I'm just not that strong. So I dated ugly girls. I mean, except for my wife. Except for my beautiful princess wife. So, I just knew better. Let me give you an example of a situation. This is kind of so stupid to some of y'all, so shallow. I'm not going to call any names. Bill would know this girl. But I asked this girl out in, like, the 11th grade. We will go out on Saturday night. And God just kept checking me all week. Said, you don't need to go out this girl. He kept checking me. I'm like, man, you know. But she said, yes, Lord. You know, she said yes to me, James Lewis. And she's a pretty girl. And I'm like, you know, she's popular. But God kept checking me. So I made up a story. I told a little fib, but it was for the cause of God that I did it. And I just said, you know, something came up. I might be able to go out. I'm sorry. And she says, oh, okay. Well, she ended up going out with, you know, some other girls, and they ended up going down to Charlotte, ended up going to a bar, got pulled by the cop coming back because they were drinking. And see, I'd have been in the middle of all that. I'd have been right in the middle, and who knows what I would have done? Who knows what shape I could have been in? Because see what happens, we get in those, it's kind of like there's none of you, even Joe Brown, as Ohioan as he sits there, stiff. I bet you, if we play the right kind of music in this place, if he walked into a room had the right kind of music, whatever music appeals to him, he'd be, whatever it is, something would move him. Maybe it's the Ohio State band song, whatever it is. But he would move to something. So if I know that. So if I go into a club, I'm telling you, I'm dancing. It ain't dancing pretty, and the moves y'all seen you've never seen before. But I'm dancing. Because I'm not going to go into a club with music going just standing like a zombie. I'm going to be moving with the flow. I'm going to be getting my roll on. I'm going to be making my contacts. I'm going to be doing my winks, my gun. You know, to the girls, I'm doing my thing because it's moving me. And I know that. So you know what I did? I stayed away from it. Never been to a club. Never been. Never been to a club of any type that I know of ever to a club. Because I knew that if I got in those places that the outside would get on the inside. So I try to avoid it. That's my whole point. We should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind. We have to think differently and let God
Show us what's right from what's wrong. The Bible says that our faith is increased by hearing the Word of God. That's what renews our mind. Hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God over and over. Hearing it. Hearing from God. Reading from God. Hearing the preaching of God. Hearing it so it gets inside of us. It becomes who we are. See, I am a Christian, not by name, but by nature. By occupation, so to speak. There are many that you get on Facebook, yeah, I'm a Christian, but you see their Facebook, you're like, wow, okay. All right, that's not what I... Okay, sure. We're supposed to be Christians by occupation, which means that's what we demonstrate. When people see our lives, they truly see, you're a Christian. I can tell you're a Christian. Not because we're perfect, but because they just see the fruits we bear. You have been transformed. You're not like the world. You're different. By the renewing of our mind, let God change us. Go to the next scripture. This is in... Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Church, we ain't got no power in ourselves. You ever try going on a diet? How long does that last? You lost 42 pounds. That's wonderful, and you gained 65 back. That's how life is. I mean, we have no power in ourselves. We're going to make, you know, I want to go to the gym. I'm going to go do my exercise every day. We'll do an hour in the gym 5 days a week. And it goes down to 4 days, then 3 days. Then we're doing it every other Tuesday. Then we're skipping once a month. And then we're, you know, because we're laying on the couch, I need to go. But, you know, our willpower is so pathetic. I mean, I'm speaking for me. But for most of us it is. We don't have much willpower within ourselves. And when we allow things around us to become what we focus on, it'll get in us. So we have to not do that. We have to control. And the way we control it is by letting the Holy Spirit control it. Letting the Holy Spirit strengthen us when we're weak. That's why Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Paul was recognizing the fact that, you know what? I have really no strength until I have no strength. And when I have no strength at all is when I truly lean upon God for His strength. Because as long as we think we have any strength in ourselves, we're still fighting ourselves. We're still doing it ourselves. We get to a point that we're in the gutter. We're at a point of bottom where there's no other hope. Then we cry out, God, help me. God, help me. I can't do it one more day. Go to the next scripture. This is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, I want to explain this verse for a minute. I read this my whole life through the years, and God gave me a different revelation on this when I was studying this. We walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. If you really look at that verse and break it down, the war after the flesh means that the weapons that we have to fight with are not from our flesh. We walk in the flesh, yes, but the weapons that we had to fight with are far beyond our fleshly order. We have a much greater weapons outside the flesh to fight with. Yes, we're weak. And yes, we're all born in sin. And yes, we're all broken in some way. And yes, we all have temptations and failures and mistakes. But we don't, our weapons that we use to fight with are not in that same spectrum. It's beyond the limitations of our flesh. We have supernatural power. Through the Holy Spirit. Supernatural power. We have power like Samson when he shook himself. And the power of God will come in a way where he done magnificent feats. We have that same power that when we shake ourselves and say, Lord God, help me. Somehow that strength of God comes up. And where weakness was, his strength overcomes. Where failure was, his victory rises up. Where mistakes have been made, God's grace covers it up and reminds us, with me, with my weapons, with my power, you can overcome and you can withstand and you don't have to be conformed to this world, but you can come out of it and not let what's around you get inside of you. Now, for some of you that's already gotten inside of you and you're fighting that this morning, you're saying, okay, I hear the message, preacher, but it is inside of me. What do I do about it now? Look what Paul gives some instructions on this. Verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not in the flesh. but they're mighty. They're mighty. Our weapons are mighty. And what's the purpose of these weapons that God gave us? To pull down strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? It's something that has you so bound you can't get released from it. It's a stronghold. Whether it's a drug addiction or alcohol addiction or a cigarette addiction or a lust addiction or, you know, what a gambling addiction. Whatever has you so bound that no matter how hard you try, you can't seem to get free from it. Isn't that a frustrating place to be? And I think we've all been there. Maybe not in as deep degrees. I mean, you know, being someone who can't put down food, I know is not near the darkness someone that can't put down heroin. I understand that. But each of us have a stronghold that if someone said, you can never eat this or drink this or do this ever again your whole life, all of us could probably think of something and be like, oh my God, what would that be? You know, you can never, ever, ever eat anything sweet ever again in your life. No ice cream, no cookies, no cake, no brownies, no Cocoa Puffs. I mean, nothing sweet ever again. You'd be like, oh my God, just Lord, take me home. I'm ready to see you, Jesus. What if the cigarette business went out? Ooh, I heard that. Oh my God, what would you do? We all have something that it would be hard for us to lay down and walk away from completely. For Grandma's got a stronghold. I'm going to tell her this morning. We think she's all holy and sweet. She's got a great stronghold. It's called coffee. Coffee. I mean, my grandma, if coffee was beer, she'd be a drunk. I mean, she puts a pot on, not just for breakfast, but a pot for lunch and a pot for afternoon, a pot for evening, a pot for night. I mean, it's all day long. Already. She's got it brewing while we preaching. That demon's waiting on her. Granny. And she likes it strong. I mean, it make hair grow on my... I need to drink her coffee. I'd come back like Richard Simmons. She likes it strong. And she loves her coffee. So if all of a sudden somebody told Grandma you can never drink coffee again until you leave the earth, Grandma might just say, well, I'm ready to see Grandpa anyway. Take me home. Got to have my coffee. So all of us have a stronghold. And that's, I know, you know, not a necessarily a bad stronghold necessarily. I don't understand that. But I'm trying a comparison. That some people have real strongholds that are real damaging, like drugs or alcohol or pornography, you know, things that can really affect your everyday living. And you try to break away from it, and you try to get away from it, and you're like, God, I don't know how, because it's inside of me. It's what I think about. It's what I dwell upon. It's what I look for. You know, the alcoholic or the drug addict, the first thing on their mind is getting that next drink or fix when they wake up, and the last thing on their mind is how they're going to get it when they wake up. And it's a bad place to be. It's a sad place to be. And you're like, if you're there, how do I get out of it? Here's what Paul says in verse 5. We have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ. That changes things. Now, let's process this. If we really use this verse of what Paul was saying, I've got to cast it down. You know, I mean, you know what cast down means? I mean, it's simple, right? I got this pen, right? I'm letting it go. I'm throwing it down. God, I'm throwing it down. And I'm going to think on what you think. I'm going to think on what you tell me. I'm going to focus, God, on your word and not on the demons that are calling my name all the time. I'm going to rebuke those thoughts. I'm going to come against those thoughts. I'm going to call upon your name, and I'm going to use your spirit, God, for help in my life. And bring the thoughts. Because God, as your redeemed child of God, you don't want me bound. You don't want me tormented. You don't want me discouraged. You don't want me oppressed. You don't want me bitter. God, you want me forgiven. You want me joyful. You want me walking in peace and power and freedom. You didn't call me to be chained, but God, you called me to unchain me. Hallelujah. And set me free. That's what God called us for, to be free. Stand in the liberty where God has set you free, Galatians 5:1, and be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage. He has set us free. And we can, you can be free, church. You can be free today. You can be free to serve God in a whole new way. When we realize the battle is not ours, but the battle is the Lord's. And He's given every Christian the gift of the Holy Spirit to help fight and to help resist and to help overcome all the tormenting voices of the devil that come against our lives. Throw it down. Say, I'm not going to listen to that no more. Understand, how many of you cut out people in your life that's manipulated you? Has anybody ever cut anybody in your life that's been a manipulator? Anybody? Raise your hands. That you cut them out because they were manipulators, all they did. You know what the devil is? Manipulator. You know what a manipulator does? It uses you for its own self-gain. That's all they want. They'll tell you anything. They'll make broken promises. Their words are full of life but empty as hell. And they'll make all that stuff and make you believe they're who they say they are. And then they'll let you down again, stab you again, break your heart again, over and over and over. And most of you at some point get the point, I'm done. I'm done. For some of us, maybe our own children, we got to cut out. As much as we love them, because they're manipulators. And all they want to do is use you as a parent. It's time, if we can cut people out of our lives, cut Satan out of your life. No more Satan. I'm tired of hearing your recorded voice over and over and over. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. How many of us are living our lives doing the same thing, but somehow, I don't know why I'm where I'm at, because you're allowing what's around you to get in you. And until you stop that process, until you destroy that seed, until you silence that voice, until you get rid of that situation, it may be cutting people out of your life. Maybe that's the problem. You know, many people are in the wrong relationships. You know, I've done probably 100 weddings as a pastor, ordained minister. Probably 100 weddings I've probably done. And there are times that it's been good, and there are times that there is so much toxic in the relationship, you can see it right on the wall, it's not going to be good. There's just too much poison. There's too much stuff in the relationship. The devil has nothing good to offer you. And understand, it is the devil, the prince of darkness, that brings evil, that is evil, and that brings disruption to your life. It is never God that does that. It is the devil. The devil is a roaring lion. He's roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, and he wants you. And the only weapons we can ever resist the devil with is the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. To say, God, I refuse to let the devil rob me of my destiny. Rob me of my future. Rob me of my joy. Rob me of my peace. Rob me. Because John tells us he's a thief and a robber. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. But Jesus came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The thief has nothing to offer you but a broken life. And you may be in a situation this morning that you feel so trapped. I mean, you feel trapped. Is there any hope for me? Is it going to get any better? Anything going to ever change? I'm tired of the cycle. Tired of the cycle. Over and over. Repeating the same cycle. Repeating the same day. Remember that movie with Bill Murray, Groundhog Day? He had the same day every day. He woke up every day exactly the same. That might be good if it's a good day, right, for a few days. Oh, wow. Panthers won a Super Bowl. Yay. Beep, beep, beep. Panthers won a Super Bowl. Yay. Me, Pablo's free buffet because I won a Super Bowl. Boop, yay. What was a bad day, though? That'd be horrible. Some of us are like the Bill Murray movie. We're waking up every day, and it's the same. And it doesn't have to be. See, God can change everything. I believe in that, church. I don't just preach that. I believe in that. That God can change everything. And God can change it now, today, this moment, this hour. That God can do something that years of you trying to do it have never accomplished. And by one touch of God, one breath of the Holy Spirit, things can be shifted in your life. And there can be deliverance. There can be freedom. There can be strength. Because some of you just need to look at your demon in the face and tell him where to go. I mean, tell him where to go. And that demon may have the face of a human being. And it may say, you know what? No more. No more. How many women stay in abusive relationships because they don't stand up and say no more? You know what happens? They let the outside abuse get on the inside and they become a scarred individual. And they justify why they're being abused. They justify why they're being mistreated. And they feel guilty and they feel like they're part of the problem. No, that's the devil talking to you. God wants no one to be in abuse. He wants no one scarred. He wants no one broken. He says that he is the potter and we are the clay. And if we'll just let him mold us into the image that he created us to be, every one of you have a start date in this earth. Every one of you have a birthday, a day you were born in this earth. And God had a plan for you. God had an appointment, an assignment for each of you. And yes, I know that we have free will, and we can get off our assignment by choosing to do this and choosing to go this way, but it doesn't mean that God's plan is not still going to be fulfilled in your life. The moment you say, Lord, I'm ready to fulfill my assignment. God, I'm ready to get off this road because this road is taking me nowhere. And I'm so tired. God, I'm tired. I'm so tired of being bound. I'm so tired of being discouraged. I'm so tired of having no hope. God, we're in a hopeless generation for many people. They don't see any hope because of everything around them. But when you have Christ in you, what has Paul said? He is the hope of glory. We have hope living in us. We have joy living in us. We have peace living in us. We have strength living in us. We have healing living in us. That God can take the scars of many years of damage and repair and fix and rearrange and put you back together again. God can fix what the devil has broken. Do you hear me? God can fix it. Let him do that. Say, God, fix me. I've let too much of the outside get on the inside. And I'm done. That's my last verse, right? I'm not going to let that happen anymore. I'm not going to let what's outside continue to get on the inside of me. Because I can live in this world and still be a light. I told David Lee, D's brother, he's a police officer. I told him, I said, look, David, you're a sweet young man. You're a Christian guy, and you will be around a lot of rough stuff as a cop. So don't lose who you are. Nothing wrong with you, you know, showing your light to the people you work with, to the people you arrest. Show them the light. And he has told me, he has had a few times where he's got people, and he's told these young men, look, you know, I've had some experiences in my young life, and look what I'm doing now, and you can change too, and he says he's talked to a few of them. We can be in the world and not let the world be in us. We can. We just have to make that decision to stand and not allow it to happen. The Bible talks about us guarding our hearts and guarding our minds. What we see, what we hear, where we go. You know why music is so powerful, either good or bad music, is it gets inside of you. It gets inside of you. It plants seeds. The music of God also elevates us, but the music of the world has a darkness to it. And that darkness can get inside of you, and it can cause you to go into things you shouldn't go in. You hear the old expression of rock and roll, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? They all go together, and that's the truth. They go together. Not everyone that plays rock and roll is doing drugs, but probably most of them aren't. Because it's the environment. It's what they're around. It's what they're in. Church, we've got to be careful of what we're doing. You know, I told you my daughter a few months ago, I love she still seeks our counsel at 21 years old. If more young people would do that, they would be in a better place. Not that we're all that smart, but we have been there and done that, so to speak. She called us a few weeks ago and said, I told you this story. Her friends want to go down to Hot Shots in Mooresville. They were doing karaoke night. And they want to go see. And said, you know, I don't, huh? I'm sorry, Big Shot. What's Hot Shots? Was it the bar I went to? Anyway, Big Shots. And she said, what do you, said, you know, I don't really feel comfortable. I mean, it's actually a bar. It ain't like just going to a restaurant and has a bar in it. It's an actual bar. And says, you know, they're going to be singing. And, you know, I'm not going to drink. I said, look, you're asking us for a reason. And it's probably not the best environment for you to be in because, you know, you don't drink. You're not a party girl. So why place yourself in a situation? Because understand, Christian is 21. She's seasoned. She's strong. She's spiritually grounded. But it don't mean she's perfect. And so she gets down there, and her friends, you know, say she goes down, her friends, you know, get a drink or two. And then, I mean, who knows? Chris could be as strong as she wants to. But here's the other thing. All it takes is a suave guy, right? My daughter's 21. She's single. She's wanting a man, a good man, a man that dad approves of, a man that won't strike the wrath of God upon him, a man that won't throw holy water on him. And while she's down there, some good-looking guy comes up. Hey, pretty. Man, you cute. Because you know how you women are. Not be, but you know, you just, sometimes some of y'all, you know, you get that attention. You're like, oh, wow. You show attention to me? Yeah. So what you doing tonight? You want to go hang out? And all of a sudden then, because of one decision, she could be in a position that could cause harm or the wrong guy or wrong situation. Or here's the thing. What if she falls in love with the wrong guy? Because she was there. All that sounds so, man, Pastor, you back in the darn 1800s, man. Get with it, man. We in 2016. Raise the roof, you know what I'm saying? I understand that. But to be in those environments, church, we just don't need to be there. Period. What's in it for a believer of God? Well, I'm witnessing. Sure you are, you're knocking down your margaritas. Yeah, you're witnessing. Cheers to Jesus, yeah. Salute, God. I mean, really? It's important we guard what's on the outside and just make a stand to say, you know what? I just don't need that in my life because I thank God, church, knowing my personality, knowing who I am. I mean, Bill thought I was probably wild in high school, but I wasn't. I can imagine how wild I would have been if I'd have got out in the world and really dabbled and dibbled in this and that. Because I'm telling you, man, I would have wanted to be the life of the party. I would have been the one on the table. I mean, I did it when I was sober. I stood up in a chair at Pizza Hut years ago, and we were dating. And I stood up in a chair at Pizza Hut, we was eating dinner, and started singing to Melanie in the middle of the restaurant. Not a drink in my body. Can you imagine if I was drunk? I'd be swinging off the ceiling. I'd be YouTube, James gone wild. You know what I'm saying? She did stay. She was embarrassed. She kept doing this. But, yeah, she stayed. Well, she stayed. I married her. And she's pretty. She's real pretty. No. Yeah, I know. Sorry about that. Anyway, it wasn't that. No, I just don't know what happened there. I probably got my eye on somebody else. Sorry. Melanie. That's who it was. Guard, church, guard. Guard what's out there. And don't let it come inside of you. God's got more for you. You don't have to stay broken. You don't have to be broken. Marty, come on up here and play a little something, if you would, for me. I want to close out this morning with just spending just a minute with God to just say, you know, Lord, I don't want to stay broken anymore. I'm tired of being broken. I'm ready to be fixed. But I want to tell you something. Being fixed means we surrender fully to God. We can't have half in our mind, well, I'll try, but if it don't, we can't even think that way. We've got to surrender to God. Just like getting married. When we took vows, me and Melanie, we got married by faith. Full surrenderance. I take you to be my wife, good times, bad times, sickness and health, rich or poor, as long as I shall live, I do. You do it by faith. So when we surrender to God, we got to come to Him in full faith, saying, God, I completely surrender to You. And I want You to fix my brokenness. If nothing else this morning, Lord, I just want to know that there's hope for me. There's hope, God. I've let too much of the outside get on the inside, and I'm tired of that. I don't want to deal with that anymore. I want the inside clean, God. I want to be like David. Search my heart, O Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Cleanse my filthy hands. Lord, purify my thoughts. God, give me a new vision. Stand with me if you would. Everybody just stand. I want to just take the hand of the person beside you, if you would, and let's. And what I want you doing, I want you to pray for the one that's been, not, don't pray for yourself. Pray for the one that's beside you or the people you're holding hand. Pray for them. Father, we join hands in this place right now. You see every need, every issue, every brokenness. Lord, you see everything that they're going through. We don't know it, but you do. We believe as a body, God, as we're joining hands, that you intervene, that you break the stronghold, you release the demons. That you bring hope, peace, and joy where the enemy has robbed that of. We declare victory in this place, overcoming power. We are not using the weapons of our flesh, but we are using the Holy Spirit. We are casting down the imaginations, the thoughts, the ideology, the lies, the voices of every enemy that tells us we're a failure. We are not a failure. We were created for your work, for your service, and for your kingdom. We are beautiful in your sight, O God. We are beloved by our Heavenly Father. You have proven that through the blood of Calvary. Pour your mercy on all of us. And God, we pray for the ones we're holding hands with, that you bring hope and you bring deliverance into their lives in the name of Jesus. That every chain will fall, that darkness will give way to light, and that hopelessness will give way to hope, and that sorrow will give way to joy. And that frustration and discouragement will give way to peace right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let us be changed by your grace and by your mercy. And we give you praise for it. And the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Give this person beside you a hug or handshake or whatever. Let them know you love them. Let them know you love them. It's important we do that. Thank you. Y'all can be seated. Thank you, Lord. Ushers, come on up this morning. Hang on a second. I want to make an announcement. We're getting closer to starting our fellowship hall. The praiser came out and took pictures of our building Friday. Our banker is hoping to be able to close by the end of this month on our loan. And let me explain a little what's going on with this, in case you haven't heard. The Lord's really blessed us, and we have, as you know, the church is debt-free right now. We paid the church off about 3 years ago, and it's been wonderful. We've been saving as much as we can out of the offerings, pulling back. My dad's done an incredible job with that for the church. He's a great steward of our finances, and he has pulled back quite a bit to build up our savings account. And so our fellowship hall, just so everyone knows, is going to be a 3,000 square foot building. It's going to be a metal building, 4 foot brick around the bottom. It's going to be pretty much just starting out a fellowship hall. We have two bathrooms in it. And that's pretty much it. It's going to be an open room. The plan is, we're trying to do a dual purpose. The plan is, as we max this sanctuary out, we'll slide into that as our future sanctuary. It's bigger, quite a bit bigger than this room. And then we'll make this our fellowship hall, convert this out and make it a fellowship hall. So we're trying to be smart with our money. The fellowship hall is going to cost $214,000, which is really a very good price. It comes out to about $71 a square foot. So $214, and we are putting quite a chunk down that we have been able to save. So we're not financing near that much. We should easily, as long as the church participates and the church supports it, I have a goal of trying to pay it off in 5 years, which really should be no problem with a corporate body. We paid our first building off in 7 years, and it was $250,000 we did that with. This will be quite a bit less. And so I just wanted to say that, the church, that you get involved and you help support it, because that's going to be a payment we don't have coming out of the church funds now that will be coming out in a few months. So it'll be something we have to adjust to. And we have enough people that can give. We have enough support. We have enough of you that can do it if you'll get behind it and say, I want to support the work of God. So we're very excited about it. Like I said, hopefully by the end of January, it'll be closed out. Hopefully by next month, if all goes well, or no later than March, we'll be breaking ground. And it'll take, you know, a few months to do that. And then we'll be able to hopefully have like stuff like our fall festival, our next Christmas dinner, any kind of events out there in that building. We'll have much more space. We do funerals here. We'll have much more space. Weddings here. They have a place to have a reception. It'll just open up a lot of doors. And I'm going to do some stuff with our community as well. It'll open up doors for our community to be able to use the building for things that the church wants to get involved with, to say, hey, you know, let's, I don't know, feed the cops or feed the firemen or whatever we want to do. We'll have a place that they can come do those things. So we're very, very excited. So get behind it. We have been very diligent. I want you to know, as you know, we are very good stewards with the money. I hope you've seen it through the years you've been with us. We paid this building off in 7 years. We have saved up for this project. The guy that we're getting is a very good guy, contractor. I've known him for a few years. He's a Christian man. He's a deacon and a musician in his church down in Gastonia. Great guy. My mom's met him a few times, have real good rapport. And I think it's going to be a very good transition for us. So be praying about that, praying what God, how God can use you to be a blessing in this project, and how God can use you to, you know, just help support it. It'll be something that we very much need. It'll be extra space for our kids. If the kids need a space on Sunday mornings, Randy wants to take some kids out there to that building, they'll have their own space to do stuff there. It'll just open up a lot of doors for the church. So we're excited. Just want you to know that. So if you've not been a giver, the time to give is now. So make 2016 a year. I want to support the church and give. Give accordingly of how God's blessed me. So with that said, the updates will come up, you know, as we get a little closer, but it'll be exciting. The plan is it'll tee off right off the back doors of the building. It'll just be a joint. We'll go out the back doors and go right into the new building. It's going to be 30. It says it's going to be 30, let's see, 3,000. How is it? 40 by 30 by 40. That's 1,200. 30 by 60, that's 18. I can't remember. Anyway, it's something about, it's 3,000 square feet. But we'll have to move our playground and adjust that and move it somewhere else to make room. And we're very excited about the way we're, one reason we're doing it, the original plan we had drawn up was going to be about $400,000. I'm like, I don't want to do that too much straight for the church. So we shelled it out to get it down. We just shelled the building out to get just what we need. I believe in getting what we need, it being nice, and then trusting God as we go further. So if we convert it to a new sanctuary in a few years, we'll have to go in there and do some work. It's going to be a drop ceiling right now, so it won't be the finished ceiling, but we'll have to go finish the ceiling, add a stage, do some sound work. So that'll be a project in itself once that time comes. But for right now, it gives us a place to go and fellowship and just have that space and trust God, as we always have, step by step, that he'll do it. So we're excited. I hope you all are excited about it too. It'll be very nice. You know, we had about 110 here for our Christmas dinner last month on Sunday evening. And it felt like it, I'm sure. It was cramped back there in the hall, classrooms. You got people can't get by, and I know that, and I hate it. We had the funeral service for Marjorie's family, and, you know, it'd be much nicer to have a place to do that. And I got to tell on Marjorie, she says something so funny.
kind of take a little of the pressure off here. But I was talking to Margie about the fellowship hall, and I see we said Roger Steve passed away. And I said, you know, hopefully next year we'll be able to have a more of a space for things like this. And Marjorie, in her dry humor, says, well, hopefully I ain't got to go through this again next year. I was like, you are so funny. So it just really tickled me. But, yeah, I wasn't talking about Margie having the space, just whoever needed a space, not Margie. So I thought that was funny. But anyway, just consider that. And, you know, as far as your offering and tithes, any way you want to do it, you know, general fund is fine. We do have a building fund that if you write a check or an envelope and put building fund on it, it'll go specifically to that fund. It's only used for that fund. And I want you to know the monies that we designate are only used for what you designate it. We have a giving well. These kids have a giving well. That money does not do anything except do something for the kids. It's not used to pay any of the church bills. It's not used to pay my salary. It's not used to get a new ceiling fan in the sanctuary. It's used for kids. That little teeter-totter thing out there, we use that giving well money to buy that for the kids' playground. So that's a different fund. Cemetery fund's also different. Cemetery fund is completely only for cemetery use, to mow, put gravel, whatever we need to do for cemetery purposes. It's used for that. So we designate funds. We're good stewards of it. And I want to thank y'all for a great 2015. It was a good year for the church. It could be better. I'm going to be honest. We left a lot on the table last year because we had a lot of giving that givers that could have gave that just didn't give. That could have been a much better year. But we had a good year, and I'm happy for that. The Lord provided, and I'm thankful for that. So with that said, let's pray for our offering. Father, we thank you for this beautiful service. We thank you that you've given us the strength to overcome that which is outside the world. Lord, I pray you keep our hearts and minds guarded. Let us not step in those places that just allow that into our souls that bring damage and destruction, torment. But let us just stay away from that we can walk free. Lord, I pray for the offering that every seed that is sown, God, is used for your glory, used for your purpose, and that you bless everyone that gives. And let them know, Lord, that they are sowing into an eternal kingdom. We'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.